Welcome to Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills and Doc Turner. This podcast is all about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
All right, Booking the Territory fans, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. And I have a treat for you, as today we are going to talk to Hood Slam's own holder of the Golden Gig. He is the one and only Drugs Motherfrickin' Bunny. That's right, I said Golden Gig. That is their title out there in Oakland with Hood Slam. 1 second before we start talking to Drugs Bunny from Hood Slam, I just want to say thank you to my sponsors. First off, I want to bring aboard my newest sponsor and tell my buddy Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance, thank you for your sponsorship. Jason is a trusted insurance advisor here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who can help you with all of your insurance needs from auto, home, commercial, life, health. The list goes on. Yes, indeed, I personally use Jason for my insurance needs, and I strongly recommend you reach out to him. Like I said, Jason's is a Farmers Insurance agent. You will not regret contacting Jason for a free insurance assessment and free quote. Just make sure you mention when you give him a call, the podcast, Booking the Territory. You can contact him directly at 972-834-2516. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at URINSURANCEGUY1, or you can email him at jason@goodguyllc.com. All of his contact information is on my Facebook page, on the Booking the Territory page, or it will be later today. So visit my site if you weren't able to jot that down while we were talking. Jason helps support us, so please give him a call and see what he can do for you. He just saved me about $400 a year doing my homeowner stuff. So again, Jason's a great guy. Give him a call from Farmers Insurance and he'll be sure to help you out. Also want to say thanks to my long-standing sponsor, TNA's Wrestling Palace, who is located in Grand Prairie, Texas at Traders Village, for those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They're your one-stop shop for all of your wrestling memorabilia needs, like replica belts, toys for the kids, t-shirts, you name it, they have it. They're on Facebook. Just look them up under TNA's Wrestling Palace. They're your one-stop shop, like I said, for those wrestling memorabilia needs. And if you're in the DFW area, go see them at Traders Village. You can also give my buddy Arturo a call at TNA's Wrestling Palace at 682-561-6966. The thing about them is they will ship to you. You do not have to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to order from them. Also, thank you to Better Choices for sponsoring the podcast. Better Choices was co-founded by healthy lifestyle coaching duo Eric and Malika Beal of New Orleans, Louisiana. When it comes to healthy lifestyle tips, recipes, meal planning, innovation, and support, or personal healthy lifestyle coaching, Better Choices is the vehicle to get you there. Whether your goal is to lose 10 pounds or 100, Better Choices can help you get it done. Eric and Malika both have traveled that road. Combined, they have lost 300 pounds. That was 9 years ago. We all know, for most, losing the weight is not the biggest challenge. The challenge is keeping it off. So connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, at Better Choices CO. You can also visit their website for more information at betterchoices.co. So, like I was saying in my opening, man, this is a big show this week. I have the one and only Drugs Motherfucking Bunny on from Hood Slam. I have been working on this for some time. I mean, it's amazing. I first heard about Hood Slam right after WrestleMania weekend this year when I was listening to MVP talk on another podcast. He was on the Major League Wrestling, MLW, very popular podcast with Court Bauer and Jim Cornette on it. But MVP was on his day talking to the MLW guys about Hood Slam. He said, man, let me tell you something. The most entertaining thing I saw WrestleMania weekend was not necessarily WrestleMania. He wasn't burying WrestleMania. He was putting over Hood Slam. He said, the most entertaining thing I saw all weekend was these dudes at Hood Slam. And ladies, too, for the ladies that are there. See, back, he just was saying, he was like, man, I was at this show and they had a dude named Drugs Bunny came out. He said it was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. So me and Doc heard this podcast and were like, dude, we got to get this Drugs Bunny on one day if we ever get this podcast off the ground. So needless to say, 2 months ago, the podcast launched. I start trying to figure out how I can get Drugs Bunny on. Doc had a contact. I had a contact, luckily, from my time as an independent wrestler many years ago. And we were able to get a hold of the holder of the golden gig. Right now, unless I'm mistaken, Drugs freaking Bunny from Hood Slam. So Drugs and I sat back, shot the bull. Drugs is going to talk all about, you know, stuff related to Hood Slam, how the Drugs Bunny character came to be. Just some really good stuff we talked about. His connection's a little off at times. You know, that's the price you pay when you're doing everything on phones nowadays, because it's not like I got a $1 million budget where I got a studio I can fly guys into. So, but nah, you will enjoy it. And Hood Slam, let me give y'all a big shout out, not only to Drugs Bunny as my first guest, but to all of you. I have watched personally your stuff on YouTube. I love what I'm seeing, man. I'm watching all kind of stuff. It's just amazing what you guys are doing. It's like you are rewriting the book on, I guess, entertainment and pro wrestling, if I could say that. And I'm not one of the guys who will say it's sports entertainment. To me, coming up in the mid-90s in the business, it was always pro wrestling. I mean, I came around as the last territories were dying. So to me, it's still pro wrestling. But I will say this. You dudes out there and girls are blowing it up with Hood Slam. So big shout out to Hood Slam on this week's episode. Drugs Bunny, you are not the first. I told you that when we were talking. I got to get all of them on. Chupacabra, Stoner Brothers. Yeah, I want y'all on too. I know we kind of connected, but I got to reschedule it. Just been kind of busy. Brittany Wonder, been watching you. I love your tweets. They keep me rolling, girl. So keep it up. But yeah, I got to get all y'all on, man. Y'all are some talented folks out there on the West Coast. Y'all doing y'all thing. Hood Slam is blowing up, and I'm loving it. I don't see why you shouldn't be on TV. The organization shouldn't be on TV at some point, or even now. But hey, also, Drugs Bunny's going to talk about this. I've been watching a lot of stuff on YouTube, but for Hood Slam, but Hood Slam's also got their own YouTube channel, and it's like $1.99 a month. They're uploading all of their stuff, so make sure you check it out, man. For $1.99 a month, you can get all the Hood Slam stuff out of Oakland, California. So without anything else, you know, only other thing I got is make sure you're following us on the podcast page. That's at @BTT_podcast. Again, at @BTT_podcast is the podcast Twitter. Also, my personal Twitter. I tweet out all kind of stuff about wrestling and football because I'm a big football fan. That's at @Mike504Saints. Would love to get some more followers, so holla at me. Trust me, I'll exchange with you. I'm not one of them guys who doesn't tweet back people who tweets me. So, Hood Slam folks out there, I appreciate all the retweets on this week's episode that I've already gotten so far, and it hadn't even dropped yet. But at this point, it's dropped. So, again, thanks. And that's about it. That's all I got. So, hope y'all enjoyed this week's episode with Drugs Bunny from Hood Slam. I'm going to throw it over there now. Sit back, relax, listen to it. After Drugs Bunny and I are done, Doc Turner and I are going to talk a little bit about the week that was and take our listener questions. So, listeners, keep sending them in. We love the questions. We love talking about it. It's great discussion. So, again, I appreciate the feedback. Appreciate all the comments, the questions, follows on Twitter. Hit us up, man. No further ado, let's get to Drugs Bunny and my conversation.
All right, Booking the Territory fans. I've been trying to work on this for a long time now, as long as the podcast has been up at this point. So I have the one, the only, on the phone tonight from Hood Slam, Drugs Bunny. Drugs, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Oh, what's man, nothing man? Much, man. I'm good, dude. I'm glad I was able to get you on, that's for damn sure. After I heard about what Hood Slam had going on, I was like, I got to get this dude on, man. I love the gimmick. I just love it.
Thank you.
So, hey, just before we even get started into the whole Hood Slam thing, I gotta ask you a question. How long you been working?
I've been a professional wrestler since 2011, February 2011. I started training in 2008. I trained at All Pro Wrestling under Roland Alexander in Hayward, California. Rest in peace, Roland. It was one of the best schools in the country, and it was right in my backyard. So that was the first place I called home.
Okay, all right. So you then you said you really got started around 2011. I guess you started kind of working some matches and whatnot out in California.
Yep. And that's when I made my pro debut and started working around just by word of mouth. Some friends, my trainers got me some early bookings. And then about, I want to say maybe a year in, Hood Slam came around and I attended one of their shows. I was still really, really new, but I knew I wanted to be a part of it. And it was really way before it blew up, way before it blew up. It was still at the Victory Warehouse, a really small venue where we run a training facility now. But I went to a show there, and I knew I had to be a part of it. So I kept asking and asking over and over until they found something for me. And the rest is history, I guess.
That's usually how it works, man. You hang around and, you know, try to get the spot, and you're hanging around, man. Eventually somebody doesn't show up or something like that happens, and before you know it, you got an end to something. So, yeah, I've been there. I kind of know how that works.
Yeah.
But,
all right. What's up?
So I got to ask, because, well, I think I messaged you this story. So I'm sitting at work one day, and to pass the time, I listen to podcasts sometimes. So I'm listening to a podcast. It's the weekend after WrestleMania weekend, and I got the podcast rolling. I got on MLW Radio, which I don't know if you've ever heard of MLW Radio, but I got it on. It's downloaded. It's playing. And I don't remember who asked, but MVP was on, and they said, "Hey, man, so how was WrestleMania weekend?" And don't quote me for verbatim on this because I'm not really sure, but they said, how was WrestleMania weekend? And MVP says, "Man, I got to be honest. The freaking best time I had, most entertaining time I had all weekend was at this company called Hood Slam." And they were like, "Hood Slam, all right, tell us about it." He was like, "Dude, if you'd have seen some of the stuff I saw." You know, he's like, "They got a dude named Drugs Bunny. Drugs comes out. You know, got the rabbit ears, got a thing over his face, kind of on his nose, and doing his gimmick, and he's got a pile of, you know, powder, assuming we talked about some illegal substance. He's powdering up his nose, throwing it up in the air. He's like, man, I popped. I couldn't get enough." He's like, "It's the craziest thing I ever seen." And he talked about a couple other guys, too, so I don't want to shortchange anybody that works for y'all. But, man, when he said that, Me and my buddy who does this show with me, he's never been in the business, but he's a big fan. Mm-hmm. He was like, he heard about it because he listens to the same show, and we were like, "Dude, we gotta go home and YouTube this." Man, I came home that night. I YouTubed it. I never laughed so goddamn hard in my whole life. I mean, because I was like, now I'll tell you, dude. I honest to God, when I first saw it, I didn't see you work. I just saw the entrance. But that was that, like, so I was like, damn, you know, I'm just sitting there laughing my ass off. Try to show it to my wife. She's like, "Man, this is crazy. Why?" My wife is nowhere near a wrestling fan. She thinks it's stupid, but she's like, "What the hell are they doing?" So anyway, I had to tell you that because that's how I heard about you and Hood Slam. And since then, just so you know, I have watched some Hood Slam stuff on YouTube. And not only do y'all have great gimmicks or characters, but the work is really solid as well. Me and Manimal talked about that when he was on the podcast. So he put you over big time, as I tweeted to you. But it was just real entertaining. So I'll let you at this point, now that I've rattled off for 5 minutes, talk about Hood Slam and how Drugs Bunny came to be, because, like I said, I got listeners. Most of my listeners right now in Texas, you know, the South, East Coast. I don't think I have many listeners on the West Coast. So the West Coast listeners, after you're on, they'll already know what this is, but I got a lot of listeners that haven't heard of Hood Slam. So go ahead and tell us about Hood Slam and Drugs Bunny, the character.
All right. Well, we can start from the beginning. Hood Slam, we like to call it the accidental phenomenon because we got popular completely by mistake. We were really doing this for us. The wrestlers just wanted to have fun and, you know, let loose and have kind of a party with a wrestling ring in it. And it was just by word of mouth. We told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on and so on. They went from free shows to us charging a little bit ahead. And then we ended up getting a bigger venue. And after we went to the bigger venue, we were drawing 300 and then 350 and then 4 and then 5. And then we were selling out at like 1,100 people after a couple of years. And it really, really blew up. There was a lot of press, like a little weekly publication. I was on the cover of the SF Weekly, the San Francisco Weekly. That was everywhere all over the Bay Area. We've been covered by Al Jazeera and the New York Times and the LA Times. It just really, you know, kind of happened out of nowhere. And what's really good about this time is the locker room is a family, you know, and it's finally a comfortable place for a wrestler to sit down and know that everyone's looking out for each other and not just for themselves. You know, sometimes you go into a foreign locker room and you don't know really what's going on. You don't know anyone, but we all know each other. You know, we're family. We have each other's back. You know, it's a different thing. Hood Slam is where I call home. And when they give me a call and told me I was going to be Drugs Bunny, I'm not going to lie, I laughed. they're like, hey, man, you're going to be Drugs Bunny. I remember it. It was the Stoner Brothers pulled me aside after a show. Not a Hood Slam show, a different show. It was called Action Code Empire. They pulled me to the side and they're like, oh, you haven't heard? You're going to be Drugs Bunny. And I'm like, what does that even mean? I didn't know, you know, if I was going to be a stoner hippie or what exactly that meant. I mean, obviously I knew I was going to be a rabbit, but.
Right.
Then, you know, they kind of went in and they're like, you're like a 1920s gangster, you know, but you're on drugs and you're a rabbit. It's Drugs Bunny. Just rolls off the tongue. It sounds nice. I'm like, okay, so. I'll roll with it. We came out, and I was in a stable called the James Gang with James C. and Stoney Montana. And we were, I debuted as a heel. We were a heel stable in the beginning.
Right.
And it just kept growing and growing. And at first, I thought I should be a well-rounded drug addict. So I actually walked out there with, like, my arm tied off and a joint in my mouth and the powder. But, yeah, I tried, you know, I tried to incorporate as many things as I could, but, you know, like, the latex on my arm fell off in the mat.
Yeah.
Obviously, I had to put the joint out, and the only thing that really stuck was the powder, and I would get it, like, on my opponents, and when I would kick them or punch them, a big cloud would come off, and I'd go to the back, and they'd say, dude, it was so cool. When as soon as we took a bump, a bunch of powder rose from the ring, and I was like, okay, all right. So I stuck with the powder forever, I guess, until right now. I still work with just the powder. It went from just drugs to just cocaine, I suppose. And the entrance is probably one of the most important parts of who I am. It just sets the tone for the entire match. And it still kind of blows my mind. I've seen people bring signs for Drugs Bunny. I've seen people dress up as Drugs Bunny. So, I mean, it's been a pretty crazy, wild ride. And, you know, especially when you have really good homies like Manimal. And, you know, you got MVP who, you know, just came to our show without telling anyone. He was in town for WrestleMania weekend and wanted to check out some things. And family showed up, he was just in the crowd. He didn't expect it at all. And everything, you know, all the rubs he's given Hood Slam and all the kind words he's saying is completely on him, like from the bottom of his heart. So I always tell him how much I appreciate him every time I see him. And yeah, he's a real homie, really good to product. And you know, Bull, we've had him at shows, and he's just a pleasure to be around. Real good dude, solid worker. And just all around good guy. So the Hood Slam family, or the Hood Slamily, as we call it, you know, it's getting more and more extended as time passes.
Yeah, it's a. I was watching some stuff last Saturday night, man. I was up late at night and sitting there on YouTube. Everybody in the house was asleep, and I'm watching. I'm like. So I even pulled up some of the girls, like or the ladies. I pulled up like Brittany Wonder, and it's slipping my mind. Y'all got a few of them, but I'm even watching them, and I'm like, they're getting in. Oh, go ahead.
Missy Hyatt shit is the other one. She's part of Stoner University.
And yeah.
And we'll have Shelly Martinez as part of the family. She'll come down.
I can't remember. It was Brittany and somebody else. And these two girls were working their asses off. And I'm like, I mean, the crowd's into it. Like, holy crap. I brought them up because I'm like, I'm watching them, and then I watch another match with you. And, you know, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, I remember what Bull told me when we were talking. He's like, yeah, you know, it's like the accidental phenomenon. It kind of just happened. I'm like, man, that's usually when things go well. And you can see how it's like an accident you fall into, but it's really, really, it's entertaining to no end. Like I said, I told Bull this week, this is through text messages, like, man, I got to make a trip out there, dude. I just got to go to a show. Now, that's a long haul for me from where I live in Texas. But I like, man, I might have to make a trip out there and just go hang out, man, talk to some of the guys, because I've been out of the business as far as working indies for a while now. It's getting close to 10 years. And I don't really go to many shows, but I'm like, I told Bull, and like I told Manimal, I'm like, man, I might have to take a trip with you, dude. Come hang out, man. He's like, oh, man, just jump in the car with me. Ain't no big deal. Because it's so entertaining, dude. I mean, you know, I was somebody who I never went anywhere, you know, just so you know. I WWE, nothing like that. Strictly an indie guy. Started working in 96. Worked all the way through about 07. I kind of gave it up. But, yeah, but I'm still a fan, you know, and when I see good stuff and I see good entertaining things, I'll certainly, I guess you can say, mark out for it. And when I saw Hood Slam, I was like, dude, this is so entertaining.
Yeah, man,
but,
and that's definitely another thing Hood Slam does, again, something we didn't plan, is people come to the shows, people become fans of Hood Slam and what we're doing without necessarily already having been a wrestling fan. Maybe they're not into WWE, maybe they never have been, but they're into another aspect of Hood Slam, and therefore they enjoy the wrestling as well, and it kind of, you know, it brings people back into it, especially the former fan. The fan was like, oh, I was into it back in the 80s, back in the 90s when it was cool, you know? This and that, and, you know, and then they come to Hood Slam, and they're like, you know, I just had the time of my life, I'll be back every single time. You know, we store things in the pro wrestling fandom. We're different. We're different. We're not going to be the next anybody. We're the first Hood Slam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what Manimal was saying. He's like, you know, one thing about the crowd there, he's like, they got a crowd there that's more than just, you know, it's not just wrestling fans. Don't get me wrong, there's wrestling fans there, but there's people who come for the entertainment portion of it, and it just so happens that it's wrestling as well. And I think that's pretty cool, because most indies, you know, or even most companies, not even just the indies, they're, you know, built as a wrestling-only product, I guess you'll say. Whereas from what I've seen on Hood Slam, it's wrestling. I'm not going to knock the wrestling because it's real good, but there's also, like, a ton of entertainment that, man, I'll just sit there and just laugh. I'm like, this is freaking awesome, you know. So, nah, I hear you when you say that. That's so true about it.
Yeah. I mean, we fancy ourselves kind of a variety show. A big part of it is professional wrestling. But, I mean, I don't hate the term sports entertainment. You know, I think, you know, if we're going to all look at each other, nod, and agree that it's a show, then we need to, you know, go balls to the wall with the show and do some entertaining things and, you know, just break the fourth wall. And that's why one of our monikers is This Is Real, because I'm a rabbit, for God's sake. It's the farthest thing. But we're not insulting anyone's intelligence, you know what I mean? And I think that's why they appreciate it.
Yeah. And y'all been drawing some serious houses from what Manimal was telling me. It's packed when y'all have y'all shows, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the max capacity of the building is about 1,000 people, but as soon as someone, you know, some people start to trickle out, whether they're too drunk or they have to catch some sort of public transportation or something, because the show runs pretty late, so they got to catch the last train or the last bus or something. Then there's still people in line waiting for people to leave so that they can be let in. And that's how, you know, we can, you know, our total draw is actually over max capacity. And we do it from time to time, but we, I don't have exact numbers, but it's like 800,000 people.
Well, no. I mean, regardless, even if you don't have exact numbers, man, that's you know, even though y'all are Hood Slam and it's a little bit different, it's still considered an indie. And for an indie, that's a damn good crowd. I mean, I judge it by, you know, you got that many people in the audience for an indie, man. You're doing something right.
And they're passionate, too. They're passionate. They get the joke. They play along. And that really, you know, kind of reminds me of the original ECW fans, or maybe even the current NXT fans at Full Sail, where, you know, you get used to running a damn good product in the same venue, so the same people start turning out. Even though I meet people every single show that it's their first Hood Slam, and they swear they're coming back, and, you know, they do. We get first-timers every single show, but we also get a good number of diehards that don't miss a single one. And, you know, they were there since the beginning, just like the rest of us. It's a beautiful
thing. I stopped. I didn't want to compare it to ECW, but I know what you mean when you say it's got that, like, feel. Because at that point, ECW was different to the wrestling business. And I think, like, when you look at Hood Slam, I don't know of anybody else doing the same thing, you know, that makes it so different. So I definitely understand what you mean when you say, you know, it's almost got that ECW-like feel where it's different and it's not the same as what you see, whether
and
it's TNA, WWE.
You know, not
any
group of fans would catch Spike Dudley, you know. Other fans would have let him drop, but those fans are loyal, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
That's what I'm talking about. They're super down for Hood Slam, and we say FTF a lot, but we love them.
I was telling Bull, I like the motto where don't bring your effing kids.
Yeah, don't bring your effing kids, because at first it was all ages for a while, just because the venue was all ages, and what they would do is ID you at the door and give you, like, a wristband or something for alcohol. And then I don't know why, but we went up to 21 and over, and that didn't hinder anything. I think it kind of made it feel more exclusive, and we didn't skip a beat, you know? So.
Yeah. No, man, it's amazing, dude. I'm telling you, dude,
you know, say just about whatever we want on the microphone in different contexts. And so.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, you know, like you say, y'all label it as such, so it's not like you're, you know, the people that are going there, they know what they expect. They're not going to be offended by it, which is, hey, man, it's all kind of fun. It's like an R-rated movie. I mean, it's entertainment, you know, people that – because there's some, like, wrestling purists that I just remember, like – see, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, coming into the business in 1996 and early 1996, like I did, there were – like I can tell you, I was able to work with guys like Gentleman Chris Adams and Tommy Rogers, and I met like a lot of like old school guys, and I'm not saying those names to say like they were against that whole, you know, hardcore style, but they were really old school. Like there was just their mentality on like things as far as even getting outside the ring, and I mean, hey, don't get me wrong, like I understood completely. I was young and I firmly listened to the veterans back then. I mean, they were smart guys. They had been around forever. So, but I can, you know, I say all that to say, you know, like you look at Hood Slam and you may have purists who go, oh, well, that's not really wrestling. Well, you know, I mean, times change. I mean, things change. And if they're a trendsetter and something's new, like Manimal was saying, he was like, dude, I think in 15 years, who knows, that may be the future of it. I mean, we don't know that at this point, but man, you just never know, man. If it keeps growing, what can happen? You know, what kind of much more visibility you get and whatnot. Now, y'all only run—I don't say only, but y'all run once a month, right? At that building?
No, we are starting to do twice a month. And then we have what we call Stoner U Dojo shows, which are at the training facility. It's a student showcase. Stoner Brothers run a show.
Gotcha.
They run a school, and they showcase their students, and we bring fans in, and it's kind of like the old days, and it's a lot of fun. We get the kids to wrestle some workers that have been around a while, maybe, you know, even some cats that don't really wrestle anywhere else. They just like to have a have fun. They'll do one of the dojo shows, things like that.
All right.
But, the first Friday of every month in Oakland, that is of the month. That's the one we're always on, and that's the one where we can, you know.
First Friday of every month, yeah. You said?
The first Friday of every month coming up. This Friday on the 17th, it's an homage to Saturday morning cartoons. You know, sometimes we have themes for our shows, like Eight for the Ladies, or Because One Dragged Me to Hell, where a whole bunch of people dressed in drag. And it was, you know, it's just a little different. But, you know, people absolutely loved it. They had a great time. We have different teams, different wrestlers that are, you know, names, I guess you can say. They're starting to catch on. And before we would, you know, draw without them, and now we just love having them. Like people like Brian Kendrick and Paul London, those guys are great. They love the product. They love to come through and have fun, and just they're just one of the guys, you know. They just party with us. They work a hell of a match, and it's a thing, you know.
Yeah.
Really great. And yeah, we do, especially when we first started, but even to this day, we have like haters or wrestling purists, or at this point, sometimes it's just like jealous workers who wish they had got on board in the beginning, because now we have a full roster and really no room for anyone, you know. So a lot of the guys in our own territory turn their nose up at the idea, but you know, later on down the road, there's been several of them, you know, that they've come around. And, you know, there's no hard feelings. We're all a family in Northern California. We like to think of it as kind of an island for pro wrestling, because it's not like the East Coast, where you're a two-hour drive from a different state and a different promotion and different local TV and all that other stuff. California's a huge, huge state, and we've got a lot of really, really good talent here. And I guess the Hood Slam roster full of some guys back that were good but just weren't being used right by other people. So, you know, and I was one of them. I wasn't really doing much as far as bookings. And I don't know. It might have been a gimmick thing. It might have been because I was really green. But as soon as Hood Slam took off, you know, Hood Slam's my bread and butter, and I love it to death. You know, I wish my character was a little more PC so I can do them everywhere, but unfortunately,
you can't really pull that off at a kid's show.
Yeah, exactly. But I know, you know, if anyone's listening out there and they don't care if I bring a big bag of cocaine to the ring and I throw it at your fans. I'm game to come through to any other, you know, maybe 21 and up show, any cutting edge promotion across the country that thinks they can handle drugs funny. I'll be there.
Yeah, here. Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Yeah, you're right about that, with being I guess not politically correct with the whole drugs funny gimmick. It's kinda hard to go elsewhere sometimes and to actually do that character. I was going to ask you that about California, because, man, California is so damn big. I mean, Texas is big where I live, but California is freaking huge. And it was funny because years ago, this is back in the 90s, I had worked once in California, but it was in Southern California, nowhere near where y'all are. And I was like, I just looked it up on a map to see how far, like, L.A. was from Oakland. It's like, good God. It was like driving across two countries because it's so far. Yeah, so I'd imagine. So there's really not much. There's not much. It's real spread out there, I would assume. So like, if there's a y'all run in Oakland, I'm assuming, man, where's the next closest, you know, area that really does anything worth of note?
I mean, All Pro Wrestling still runs shows in Daly City. You have Gold Rush and Pacifica. I mean, I could actually name off a lot of promotions over the last few years. At least ever since I broke into the business in 2008, there's been so many new promotions sprouting up. Everyone wants to run a promotion. Everyone wants a piece of the pie. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun having enough room for the talent spread out. But a personal problem I have with it is that, you know, everyone wants their own thing. And with all those different promotions, you have all those different bookers and writers, and everyone's doing different things. Like, you could have a feud over here with the same guy you have camps with over here, and you could be a face over here and a heel over here. And, you know, it's hard for anyone to actually brand themselves as a one specific person. That, you know, not,
yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that have done that, that work as the same person everywhere. But, I mean.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah, you start having a million. Yeah, you start.
Like too many places to work now.
That happens everywhere. It's not just there. Yeah, that I find that happens everywhere lately. I mean, with the indies, it does. You got a lot of people start oversaturating it, or they'll see something get hot, and then they're like, "Oh, I got to capitalize on that too." So they go buy a ring, and who knows? They may put a half-assed product out there that's not worth a quarter. Yeah, that tends to happen on the indies. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with that as well.
Great.
Hey, so for the most part, you pretty much stick to what you got going on at Hood Slam, then. You there?
Part.
Hey, did I lose you? Did you fade? You faded out.
Nope. Am I here? I'm still here.
Okay. Cool. I thought I lost you.
No, I'm right here. I mainly just do Hood Slam. There's a few other promotions here and there that I just put on some tights for and go out there and rock the house as best I can, make my opponent look like a million bucks, go to the pay window and wait for the next Hood Slam, you know what I mean? But I really wish I could make more of my booking elsewhere. Like, I'm really trying to incorporate the Rabbit into a more PG thing because, you know, you just a little tweak of the name and a different type of prop, and then we got some gold, you know, we got something going. But I gotta figure out what I'm gonna replace all this gosh darn blow with, you know.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, one of the things I noticed when I was watching Hood Slam this weekend was I have never worked at a, you know, on a card where you can't go on the floor. And not that I'm saying I'd go on the floor every time, it's just that I'm looking at these YouTube videos, and the fans are literally up against the ring apron. So Manimal and I were messaging. I was like, dude, how do you work like that? He's good. Man, it's so loud in there. They can't even hear you call spots.
Yeah, we don't whisper either, you know. And they're loud, they're into it, and we definitely go to the floor. We dive all the time.
Y'all do? Okay.
Fans. Yeah, they're just loyal fans, and they get out of the way. We have live commentary, which not a lot of shows have. We have live audible commentary for the crowd to hear. As a bros of Joe Brody's AJ Kirsch, he's one of the coolest dudes I know, and he's gold on the microphone, and if he sees a dive coming, he'll just, you know, yell, "Get the F out of the way, here he comes," and they move. They get out of the way. Everyone's always fine. Probably.
Okay. No, that's cool. Do y'all have a boxing and wrestling commission there? Is it like okay, I couldn't remember. I don't remember. It's been so long since I had worked
not
there.
Not in California. It wasn't. I didn't even know that those existed until, like, I was a year or two into the business. I was like, wait a minute. I want to wrestle on the East Coast. I have to pay someone money for no reason. Like, it's a show. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. You got states that have commissions. I mean, like, I know when I was working years ago, I mainly worked the Gulf Coast, like Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. I mean, it was in Georgia too, but that was the main area just because of the drive. I mean, just, you know, it was closer. Anyway, back then, Louisiana still got one. Mississippi, I think, still has one. I'm not sure about. I don't think Alabama had one, but I can't remember. And I think Maryland,
North Carolina, Virginia all have them too.
Yeah, and some of them are crazy, man. Like the rules and regulations. Like I said it all the time. I was interviewing my buddy Luke Hawks last week, and he runs a promotion out of Louisiana that's really successful. I mean, they're drawing like 1,100, 1,200 people. But we were talking about it. It's like the commission makes it difficult on, like, Louisiana is one of the worst that I know of. Just the way they just basically, they're robbing promotions and the wrestlers. It's pathetic. So that's why I asked that question about California. That's good that y'all don't have that, because all they basically do is dip into your pockets after you do all the hard work.
Come on out, lace up your boots and get in the ring, you know. I've never had to, you know, sometimes sign, like, some sort of waiver for the promotion, but it has nothing to do with, you know, you don't have to ever pay anything or anything.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's cool. That's cool. So y'all got something, it's Friday, right?
Yeah, this Friday. It's the homage to Saturday Morning Cartoons, where a lot of our roster will be dressing up as their favorite cartoon character. But, you know, whenever we do any type of cosplay, we never do it to the fullest. It's always like we have the Futabi brothers, Anthony and Johnny Drinko. They're going to be the Rugrats. They're going to be Tommy Pickles and the other one, the red-haired one. But they're going to be – it's going to be Johnny Plinko Drinko as Tommy, you know, so he's still going to be an adult walking out there probably with a bottle of liquor in a baby bottle. I don't know what he's going to do. One of my favorite things, though, is Mortal Kombat Scorpion. Scorpion comes out. He was the first one to do it when we were dressing up his cartoons. I think it was last year or the year before. He was Quail Man from the show Doug, but it wasn't the person who plays Scorpion. It was Scorpion playing Quail Man. So it was all the Quail Man outfit over the Scorpion outfit, and it was 100% gold. that whole dress-up thing went on for, like, another year. I think it's still going, actually.
No, I gotta like the different spins y'all do, man. It's, like I said, it's different, it's entertaining. Hey, we're about 35 minutes into this thing at this point, so before we start to wrap up, two things. So I know Hood Slam is on Twitter at Hood Slam. I know you're on Twitter. You want to give your Twitter at?
Yeah, that is at Drugs Funny FTF. Drugs with a Z. Drugs Funny FTF on Instagram.
Nice.
Like my Facebook page too, and all that. And yeah.
Are you on now? You got a Drugs Bunny Facebook, or you just your personal one?
Yeah, I have a Drugs Bunny fan page that
okay.
I post all a lot of the flyers, just random one-liners, things like that. I'm not really good with social media, so sometimes I'll tweet something that I won't put on the Facebook and vice versa. So you got to follow everything if you want to stay in the know. That's basically it, you know.
No, I do the same thing, man. I would like tweet from like the podcast Twitter and then my personal one, and then, but when it comes to my Facebook, man, a lot of times I'm just like forwarding or sharing the podcast shows on my personal one. I don't really post a lot of personal crap on my own Facebook. So yeah, I'm kind of the same way. They're not all uniform, you know. You got like bits and pieces here and there, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is, man. And I wanted to make sure. So everybody listening, Because I know I got these fans in the South and Texas and the East Coast that are listening at this point, because I see where the downloads are coming from. That's at Drugs Bunny with a Z, not an S. So DrugsBunnyFTF. So that's at Drugs Bunny with a Z, FTF. And you can follow him on Instagram and Twitter. And then he's got a Facebook page as well. And then also Hood Slam's got a Facebook page for Hood Slam as well. They got a hell of a following. I was looking at it over the weekend. I was like, damn. That was it, man. I just wanted to rap with you. Like I said, let me tell you, when MVP puts you over, then you must be over, because I've never met MVP. But I respect what he's done in the ring. I watch him all the time in TNA. I saw him in WWE, and I'm like, man, MVP's with this dude over. I got to get him on a podcast, dude. That's the first thing I told Manimal. I was like, I got to get him on a podcast, man. Can you make it happen? He's like, yeah, I can get him on the phone for you. I'm like, all right, sure enough, a week and a half later, I'm talking to you.
Right on, man. Yeah, like I said, both Bull, MVP, a lot of other people, man, they're real homies, man. They're part of the Hood Clan family. And Bull. Can't wait to see you again, bud.
yeah. I'm telling you, he told me to hop in the car with him. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon, but he did tell me that. Hey, do me a favor. If you can help me spread the word about the show. Now, your show won't be up for another couple weeks because I got two more coming up. I got one coming up Friday, another one the Friday after that. You may be the Friday after that. So as we're recording this, y'all may be into the next month getting ready for y'all monthly show once this one drops. So, hey, but if you can help me out in any way spreading the word on the show, like I said, I don't have a West Coast audience right now, so anything you can do would be helpful. I got the I'm supposed to have the Stoner Brothers on. I gotta message them. I think we talked about next week, but I'm not sure. I got to touch base with them again because I did talk to them through Facebook last week.
Right on, yeah. You gotta have get a lot of people on, man. There's people on the roster.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got the Stoner Brothers, you got Brittany Wonder, oh super
yep.
One of my closest friends, you know, he's a real great guy and he knows everything about everything. I love that guy. So yeah. I'm sure they'd all love to sit down and talk to you, so I'll definitely spread the word, get the word.
Tell him I think Bull has hooked me up with Facebook with a bunch of the guys. I know he's hooked me up with the Stoner Brothers on there. I don't think he's talked to Brittany yet. I don't think he's talked to Chupacabra yet. If he has, I'm just not sure about. But hey, look, I need content, so I'll get through everybody. Just give me some time, and we can definitely talk and help y'all promote it. I'm all for it, man. It's like I said, I don't think you've listened to any episodes yet, but what I do half of the episode every time is just me talking to, you know, talent, whether it's indie talent from, you know, the South, East Coast, wherever. And then the other half is me and a buddy of mine. We kind of do a review of what currently is going on, but we're starting to just get a lot of listener questions. So we really just address questions at this point. We're not really doing a ton of reviews like we were once doing when we first started. So, man, let them know, dude. Hook me up with them. I will be more than happy to talk to all of the talent out there, get them on the show, plug their Facebooks, Twitters, Instagrams, and definitely can rap with them and get them on, man. I don't mind that at all. That's why I'm doing it, actually.
Right on, man. That sounds good to me.
Well, hey, man, before I let you – well, before I hit the stop on the recorder, I'm gonna have you hang tight for a second after I stop it, but – before I hit the stop on the recorder, man, you want to plug anything else? Say anything else to the fans out there that are listening, probably for the first time since you're the first California Hood Slam guy I got on this podcast this time.
Yeah, I want to let everyone know that if you're nowhere near Oakland and you want to get you some Hood Slam, we have a Hood Slam YouTube page for the low, low price of $1.99 per month. We have just about every show. We're uploading them. As quick as we can. They're full shows. They're first Friday shows. It's the whole shebang. It's everything that you want if you're not able to make it out to a live show. Although, no matter where you live, now I met a guy that flew out from Ireland, and he was at Hood Slam. So no excuses if you're in the U.S. to make it. But if you can't, it's still good. We have just about everything, and, you know, you can find your new favorite wrestler, and become part of the family.
And you know what's funny? Manimal, that episode hasn't aired yet, but Manimal did plug that as well. He said, he talked about, he was like, dude, it's only $2. Just go do it. So, yeah, YouTube. So where do they go to on YouTube? I guess Hood Slam's got its own page, so they could just search Hood Slam on YouTube.
Yeah, you search Hood Slam. There's a few, you know, there's clips and matches and things that were put up that are up there for free. But they're really well edited, the full shows, and the most current content. A lot of the free stuff is pretty old, but it can give you a good free little taste, a little reminder that, you know, $2 isn't too much to get all the brand new shows up there on YouTube. So,
yeah. Hey, and just from the free stuff I've seen on YouTube, I'm very entertained. I mean, it kept me entertained the other night for a while. So, y'all check them out.
Right on.
Go ahead.
At Hood Slam, hashtag Hood Slam on Instagram, and you'll find a whole bunch of crazy stuff. Like I said, our fan base is out of control. They're super loyal. You know, shout out to the whole Hood Slam family. I'm probably going to be hearing on you guys on this show soon. And dude, just thank you, Bull, and thank you for having me on, the plug, and just being another fan, you know.
Hey, Bull's putting a word in everybody's ear for me for what he told me, and he's actually hooked me up with a bunch of people that I don't even know who they are on my Facebook page yet. But if you talk to anyone, like, you know, Chupacabra and any of the other people you mentioned, hey, just let them know. I would be glad to have them on. Tell them follow me on Twitter at Mike504Saints or the podcast page at BTT_podcast. I mean, you see them. You've retweeted a bunch of things already. Hey, just tell them connect with me on there, and I'd be glad to have them on, man, as I'm working through getting through the talent that I've met so far. Not a problem at all, man. Hey, once again, I appreciate you coming on, dude.
Dude, my pleasure. Thank you.
Before we get into the review portion of the show, I just want to say thanks again to our sponsor from Farmers Insurance, Jason Smith, a good friend of mine who is a friend of the show and sponsor of the show. Jason is a trusted insurance advisor here in the DFW area who can help you out with all of your insurance needs, from auto, home, commercial, life, health, and the list goes on. I personally use Jason for my insurance needs, and I would strongly recommend you reach out to him. You will not regret contacting Jason for a free insurance assessment and free quote. Make sure you mention the podcast when calling him. You can contact him directly at 972-834-2516. And make sure you follow him on Twitter at URINSURANCEGUY1. Or you can email him at jason@goodguyllc.com. All of his information is going to be up on my Facebook page within the next couple of days. So visit my site on the Booking the Territory site on Facebook if you weren't able to jot that down. Help Jason out. He supports us. So give him a call. Give him some business. Trust me, you won't regret it. He really does a good job with these insurance policy, and I'm very appreciative of that. With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the review portion of our show with me and Doc Turner as we take the Twitter questions that we got from the week. I appreciate you all tuning in. Hold tight, and we'll get through that review portion in a second.
All right, Booking the Territory fans, I hope you just enjoyed that wonderful discussion between the one and only Drugs Bunny from Hood Slam and myself. Doc Turner's on the line with me tonight, but Doc has not had the privilege of speaking to Bugs or hearing Bugs at Drugs Bunny at this point. But he's kind of a fan with the interviews because he will tune in as soon as this thing drops tomorrow when you start tuning in, and he will get to listen to the one and only Drugs Bunny that he and I both popped for when we first heard about him. So, Doc, you're on. Seriously speaking, man, I like to joke with you a lot and give you a bunch of shit, but you looking forward to Drugs Bunny's discussion with me?
Man, I really am, Mike. You know, the thing of that is, just when you think every gimmick in the world's been done and you ain't, there's nothing left that you can see that'll be funny or surprising or new, we stumbled upon the character Drugs Bunny, and I got to say, we both popped real hard when we came across this, and I got to say, I'm really looking forward to learning more about Hood Slam and Drugs and his journey as well.
Yeah, you know, he's just the first. You'll get to hear that. I've actually been in touch with a few of them at this point. And we will definitely get some of the other ones on. Like he named, it was Chupacabra, it was the Stoner Brothers, which Manimal did too when I talked to him. Brittany Wonder, Shotzi, these are two of the ladies that he had mentioned that we need to get on. I'm trying to think. There's so many of them, and I will do my best to get around to all of them. As you know, we only have one show a week, so you can only get to so many people. With that said, it's just a matter of spending time and making the time to get them on to interview. But you and I both know that when we first heard MVP, and I talked about this during the interview and in the opening that I recorded earlier today, we both heard MVP say Drugs Bunny. We were both like two kids in a candy store, immediately going to YouTube to, you know, when we got home to watch it. And we were texting that night. We first looked it up on YouTube, and we were both like two kids couldn't stop laughing. Not that it was funny, but it just was like, this is freaking awesome to see this character and this gimmick, and the guy can really work. So Drugs, man, I know you're listening to this, and I know the rest of the California crew is listening right now. So I really enjoyed talking to you, like I told you, and we will have more of you guys on, from guys and ladies from Hood Slam. So, Doc, I hope you enjoy it. But, yeah, as you know, we really had a good time watching him.
Yeah, and Drugs Bunny is not the kind of thing you want in your work computer search history.
But, right, 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 right.
But, yeah, it's on my you can find it on my home laptop search history.
That's right, that's right. So big shout-out to MVP introducing us to Hood Slam, and Manimal, a friend of me and Doc's, which it's ironic. Doc is the one who was not, as much as I give Doc crap about never taking a back bump, Doc is the one that knew Manimal. I didn't really know Manimal until I met Doc. Even though me and Manimal kind of had ties from the guy who trained him the guy who trained Rodney Mack. Well, Rodney Mack trained Manimal, and Rod Price trained Rodney Mack, and I trained under Rod Price. So it's a very interesting story how it all comes together. Not originally trained, but as I got into my career, Rod Price is the one who kind of took care of me. So, no, man, it was interesting how all that played out. But so luckily we got Drugs, and we will get the rest of the Hood Slam crew on. So Hood Slam, big shout out to y'all, man. I know I gave y'all a lot of props in the opening, but I just wanted to say it again. We really appreciate it before we get into the review portion of the show. With that being said, we got some questions. We got the Twitter questions. We got a bunch of the same crew who's always sending the same questions. We appreciate it. Y'all always do us a big favor. So just want to say ProWrestlingOpinion.com. I want to give them a big shout-out from Nick Lopez. He does some writing there. He always submits questions, and he's got some good articles up on ProWrestlingOpinion.com. So make sure y'all check it out, fans. That said, let's get on rolling into these questions, Doc. So Twitter questions from @SoulsStormer. He's a friend of the show, always sends us stuff. He says, Doc, will Kane return as the demon or the corporate suck-up? And he literally said corporate suck-up. So, Doc, go ahead and take that one.
Well, since I'm a corporate suck-up myself around where I work, you know, I think it depends on where they want to go with him. My personal thing is I think there's a lot of mileage with putting him back with Seth Rollins. So to answer the question, I'll say corporate Kane. But it would not surprise me if he inserts himself in with The Undertaker in some sort of Brock Lesnar storyline as well.
Yeah, you don't know. I think when he asked that question, I'd like to see him come back as the demon type Kane. I really would. The corporate suck up. It's all right. It's not that I hate it. It's just he was Kane, the demon Kane, for so long. So I'd like to see him come back with doing the demon Kane. If I had to answer that question,
you
got to
think
that way,
that Kane is nearing the end of his run, and so yeah, for purposes,
yeah.
Why not?
Right, exactly. That's what I think, too. So next one, Soulstormer again on Twitter. Soulstormer says, is it right? This is Nate Milton and I from Review and Impact just finished talking about this, and he's going to be on a future show towards the end of August. Very great, very good guy, but we had a long discussion. He brought this up. I didn't, just so you know. He says, but Soulstormer wants to know, is it right to erase Hogan for good after all he did for the business? Let me go first, Doc. First off, that question, I don't know if you can really answer it, because I don't think you can erase him. That would be like trying to erase a historical event
another historical event in history that was really bad. I don't think, like, for example, this is not the same thing, but you couldn't erase the things that happened in World War II in Nazi Germany. They happened. So they're a part of history, but you can't erase them. They're part of bad history, but you can't erase them. So when he asked, is it right to erase Hogan for good after all he did for the business, I don't even think if you tried, you could erase him. That's how I answer that question. What about you, Doc?
I'm a guy that will legitimately own up to liking some really embarrassing shit in my past. So there mm-hmm. was a time as a teenager I listened to the Poodle Hair metal bands from L.A. Hell, I watched professional wrestling, and in certain circles I run in, that could get you laughed at. But I can tell you, 100%, I have never in my life, when I was 8 years old, 18 years old, 28 years old, all the way up into adulthood, ever liked Hulk Hogan. And so, you know, not liking somebody and respecting the mark they've made on the business, though, are two different things. And while Hogan hasn't been a very generous guy in doing the honors for people, you erase him from WWE, and all of a sudden that takes his iconic moments with Andre the Giant away. Or, you know, for all of how it got, you know, it got played out at the end, but you're not going to see the NWO, which was pretty groundbreaking at the time. So I think by erasing him, I think it from the network, if you do that, I think you affect other guys. Should he be fired and not be able to get a paycheck? Hey, I think every corporation you can find is going to make that same decision in this in 2015. I don't think you should find it surprising that he was fired. Erased, you know.
No, I don't think – yeah, he's not asking about is it surprising, but he's just saying is it right to erase him. I don't know if I can answer, is it right to erase him? All I'm going to say is I don't think you can erase him.
And it's a tough,
I don't think it's possible. He's too tied into so many other things. It's not an individual sport. Oh, it is, but it's really not.
Well, and here's the other thing, and you and I have talked about this. It's really easy for me to say somebody's right or wrong about some racially hurt feelings when I'm a white guy that has many, many, many advantages in this world that, you know, the word privilege comes along with that. So, you know, it's easy for me to answer that question one way or the other, but I would say to the people that were offended by it, how do you feel, you know? And that's why it'll be interesting to hear Nate Milton's answer to that when he's on the show, because he is an African-American. And it's like, you know, how did that impact you? Because I'm saddened by it, but
yeah.
Hulk wasn't talking about me.
Yeah. And what Nate and I talked about wasn't really, is it good to erase him? It just was kind of what happened. And he brought it up. You know, you and I talked about it. I wasn't going to ask him about it. He brought it up. It was the first thing he said. He goes, man, like, it's not like we got a lot to talk about with what Hulk Hogan's done. And so he kind of broached into it. So we went with it. So hopefully that answered your question, Soul Stormer. Appreciate the ones you've sent in. We'll go on to the next one. At Nick Jason Lopez. Kind of a two-part question, and Doc, you can take this one after I'm done. Can Cena, Rollins at SummerSlam top their match on this week's Raw, and did they give away too much? Go ahead, Doc.
Okay. I went back and rewatched this match a second time because on the first watch on Monday night.
You took a shit on it.
I didn't take a shit on it. I just said
yeah,
I didn't
did.
Think those – no, I didn't. I said I didn't think those guys clicked like some of the other guys Cena's been in the ring with, i.e. Owens and Cesaro. So it felt like a letdown. And then obviously I think they were working around the nose and all that, which is still weird for me to see trainers come out in the middle of the match and whatnot. But I went back and watched it again, and I got to tell you, I think those guys, you know, I was probably a little hard on it. I didn't take a shit
I
on
I told
that.
You.
I'm about to take a shit on you. But
no, you kissed my ass. You're the one that ain't never took a bump, and I told you that match was good. But go ahead. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was fine.
So do I think they can do better at SummerSlam than they did at Raw? Here's the thing. I think they'll get more time, which I think is a good thing. And I think both of those guys are fully capable of raising the bar. And so,
yes.
You know, I think Cena had a better match 3 or 4 weeks before that match. So, yeah, I think he can raise the bar, and I know Rollins can. So, yeah, I think it's entirely possible that they could have a SummerSlam match that makes you forget the Raw match other than the broken nose.
Yeah, man, they're gonna appreciate the question, Nick, and yeah, they're gonna top it. That what they did on Monday wasn't bad. It was a really good match. But they'll top it. They didn't give away too much. I mean, he broke his nose. That was the part that you're like, whoa. But yeah, they'll top it. It won't be a big problem. So, hey, at Nick Jason Lopez, that's our contributor on ProWrestlingOpinion.com. So if you're listening, you want to check them out. He's got some good articles. Basically, he reviews everything from Lucha Underground to ROH to NXT to SmackDown, Raw. He reviews it all. So might want to check it out if you miss anything. It's pretty good recap if you just read through it. He does a good job there. So good
he
job.
He must not have a wife or children.
I don't know. I think Nick's pretty young, so yeah, probably not. But he does a good job of recapping.
Enjoy your youth.
Yeah, enjoy it, man. And you'd be like us, two old farts who struggle to schedule time to shoot a podcast weekly. So I'm gonna move on to the next one. Kevin Cordell at Cordell Kevin says. He kind of makes a statement. Got to respect Cena. Great finish with a busted nose. Becky looked great. He's referring to Becky Lynch. And then here's the big question that I got from him, one of them at least. Is 4 hours too long for SummerSlam? Doc, we talked about this Tuesday. Yes, it's too damn long because then you're going to have an hour-long pre-show. So, Jesus, 4 hours is too long. Should have left it at 3. I'm going to leave it at that. I'll say the statement that I was always told by veterans in the wrestling business, less is more. I understand what WrestleMania, if you make it 4 hours, that's one show a year. I do not like SummerSlam being 4 hours. With that being said, WWE will do a good job and pull it off, but at the same time, I'm not for the 4 hours. I already know what you're going to say, Doc, but go ahead.
I don't have the network. I don't watch pay-per-views, haven't watched pay-per-views in many years. You can make it 10 hours or 2 hours. I don't give a shit. I'll keep up with it on Sunday night before I go to bed and find out who won and kind of the general opinion of it. I'll come into work Monday ready for a full blow-by-blow by me and Mike Mills. But, but in all seriousness, Kevin, it seems a little long just for 4 hours. I mean, they already ask a lot of us as fans to do 3:15 on Raw, 2 SmackDown, Tough Enough, Swerve, The Network, Tough Enough or NXT. They're trying to ask for all your free time. So, maybe they deliver.
No, I mean it's not. No, it's okay. It's a Sunday. It's a Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. They'll likely get my 4 hours that Sunday, but. You know, even football season and whatnot, even as much as you and I hate Roger Goodell and what they do, while we might not watch all of the games anymore because we're old and we got kids, we're still going to watch our team's games. So 4 hours during the fall, maybe not. SummerSlam, I can probably commit to it, although I don't like it being 4 hours. So, Kevin asked a ROH question. Another thing we talked about. Bigger news for ROH this week, losing the 8 p.m. time slot, which was be 7 our time, or Roderick Strong re-signing. I'm going to go first. Losing the 8 time slot is the bigger news, and it's not ROH's fault. It's those dumbasses at Destination America who couldn't book TV shows or book their way out of a wet paper bag. They take probably one of the top shows they have because, God forbid, somebody's watching Searching Bigfoot or Ghost Asylum, or any other bullshit that comes on that freaking show. ROH loses there, but Destination America is just run by a bunch of freaking dumbasses. So that's my vote. Losing the time slot is the bigger news, but it's not ROH's fault, as I said that. We're talking Destination America being idiots here. Go ahead, Doc. Weigh in.
Man, I agree. The last thing I want to do is slip over to that dumbass station and see Trick My Barbecue Grill or whatever else the hell they're doing over there. you
bunch
know,
of bullshit.
You know, I think that, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think this Destination America is an offshoot, spinoff network from Discovery. So they're probably protected from going out of business due to their own stupidity. But hell, WCW was backed by a big corporation at one time too, and that didn't stop them from getting the boots put to them and being blocked.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
ROH is far in a far better position to maintain their momentum, at least because they have Sinclair behind them, so that they still have some televised product. Now it won't hit them in the major market where Sinclair doesn't have stations, which is what the Destination America thing was trying to shore up. But at least they got something. TNA, on the other hand, will be scrambling for scraps.
Scraps. Scraps. Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
Let me go back to something Kevin said earlier. In the previous question, Becky.
Four hours.
Really like Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
I said, to me, and I'm getting a good look at these girls for the first time, really. I heard a lot about them. I'm a big Flair mark. I'm as big of a Flair mark as you are Athena mark. And I like Charlotte fine. I like all three of these girls, Sasha and all of them. But to me, the one that's made the biggest impact has been Becky Lynch. For me watching it, I like them all. But to me, she stood out.
Yeah, and you're that's a small sample size. You're a numbers guy. That's a small sample size you're looking at right now. So I don't know. I'm not knocking her. I like her. I mean, heck, my wife who doesn't watch wrestling thought she liked it. She's like, oh, I like her. There's something about her. So I mean, that's from a naked eye, somebody who knows nothing about wrestling. So hey, I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. All right, so we're gonna move on from that ROH question because we both agree Destination America is run by a bunch of dumbasses. Next question is one more from Cordell Kevin. At Cordell Kevin says, biggest former NXT star in need of help. You're going to like this, Doc. Biggest former NXT star in need of help. Adam Rose, Bo Dallas,
or The Ascension.
Hey, how much have we talked about The Ascension offline?
A lot.
Before you start talking about Ascension, Nate Milton and I talked about Ascension too. So, but go ahead.
Our running, for all you listeners out there, Mike and I's running joke offline has been Ascension must have got caught banging the wrong person, or somebody walked in on them doing the wrong thing, and that they've been blackballed or something, because they had their push pulled out from under them faster than even New Day can get a push pulled out from under them. So, you know, I have a tendency to want to say them, but, you know, I watched that E60, that show on ESPN about the NXT, and they showed Adam Rose and his backstory and having a kid that I don't remember the whole story, but I think it was a real premature baby, and, you know, he's wrestling to, you know, pay medical bills and all that. So from a personal level, I'll say him, just rooting for him personally. I know he got saddled with a bunny and a raving crew. You know, I've heard he might be a candidate to join the Wyatt family, and that might be good for him. But personally, I'd say I'd be rooting for him just because he's got a home situation that a successful run in the WWE would really probably mean a lot for him.
Yeah, I didn't see that still. But to answer Kevin's question, biggest former NXT star in need of help, I don't know if, like, the character Adam Rose or even Bo Dallas need help. I like who they are. The Ascension, they need just a reboot. complete. And I'm not – this is – I don't want this to come across the wrong way as me knocking those guys, because they're good workers. I'm not knocking them at all. They need a reboot as far as the way they're presented. Nate and I kind of talked about this, and I'm so glad he mentioned it. They just – the way they were built from the start, there was just something wrong that to buy into them. And I think – and now they're caught up in the wash of the mid-card. where they kind of just, you know, they got they were thrown out there tonight on SmackDown. I'm gonna go back and watch it maybe a little later since I don't have to work tomorrow and stay up a little bit later. I'll catch it. But they just need a reboot. There needs to be a storyline. As James Beard told me when I interviewed him, emotional investment, and that was one of the things that nothing was done about when they were built. And Nate talks a lot more and gets a little bit more in depth with their character, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, so we're gonna touch on that in the interview with him in a couple of weeks that'll be aired. So I say the Ascension, Kevin. Good question, because those
kind
of three.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You said Ascension's on the mid card. If they're on the mid card, what tag teams are below them?
Well, I say mid card is a general term. I mean, when I say mid card, I mean in any given night on a Raw or SmackDown, they can air on hour, you know, hour two. So
okay.
When I say mid card, it could mean lower card. Just so you know, again, here's a guy who's never taken a bump. When you say mid card in the wrestling business, that just means not main event. So, make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never taken.
No, yeah, exactly. So, hey, we're gonna go. Go ahead.
Hold on. I'll take another one. If Neville doesn't work out good in his feud with Cody Rhodes, you might need to add him to that former NXT star that could use some help.
Yeah, no, you probably got a point there. You probably got a point, which would be sad. And now to the next question. At BTR Watson, he says, will Rusev and Lana reunite at SummerSlam? I want to go first on this one. I don't think so. And if they do, that's actually a good thing, because that means I'm not believing it. But they end up reuniting, so they kind of swerve this brother. But I don't think they reunite. I kind of like what's going on. I like the storyline with this whole, you know, Hart Lana and the chick that looks like a dude, Summer Rae. Like, it's funny. I pop on it every Monday night when they do something. So I think the answer is no there. What do you think, Doc? Hey, and keep in mind, SummerSlam's still a month away, as we say that. So there's still a month of build time for that one.
Man, I'm a fan of the slow burn. I would have this go at least into the Rumble, maybe even to WrestleMania. I could see a time where they get back together, and I think they're together in real life, so that certainly makes sense. I don't know. I think doing it now would be too quick. I'm kind of enjoying this ride, and I hope it goes a little bit longer. I was, you know, I'm not totally against comedy, and I thought it was a little funny when they pulled out Dog Ziggler and the Cold Fish the other night. So,
oh yeah, man, that was some funny stuff.
Personally, I think I'd like to keep it going, but you know what? I don't think they will either. So if they do it at SummerSlam, I'd at least be surprised, which is more than I can say on WWE a lot of times.
Yeah. No, I agree. So we'll leave that one at that. It sounds like we both think it'll go a little longer. So these are the Facebook questions that I got. Bobby says, why do you think they're sending Sasha out there without the NXT title? I'm assuming, well, not assuming, he's talking about on Raw. Sasha's showing up on Raw without the NXT title, but they were still recognized her as the champion, whereas when Owens was the NXT champion, he would carry his belt out there with him. I don't have a good answer for you, Bobby. I think it's just stupid, lackluster, lazy, you know, no consistent, I guess, reasoning behind it. I can't think of any other reason besides that. I mean, to answer the question.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think they're going to have to tighten up the game a little bit when it comes to the females. There was also a continuity error on Raw where the girl showed up in two different places and were wearing different clothes, but in real, you know, they taped one, and in real time it was just a few seconds. And
Yeah. I remember that.
You know, it could just be that the continuity folks have missed that.
Yeah, I couldn't answer. Questions like that drive me, not because it's not a good question. It's just like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why Owens would be allowed to do it, but then Sasha wouldn't. It just doesn't make sense. It's not, there's no continuity there. No reasoning behind it. No logic in it. So who knows? This came from someone named Frito. Frito says, What do you make of the NXT Divas as being the ones who won their matches Monday night on Raw? Lynch and Charlotte beat Alicia Fox and Nikki Bella, while Sasha defeated Paige. You want to take that one first, Doc?
I think hopefully they've learned their lesson from the other guys that they've rolled out in from NXT and know that they've got to do something a little bit different to help these ladies get over. The other thing and these ladies can go. Uh-huh. Mike and I were talking about it this week. We were joking about Tuesday morning about how Nikki Bella probably ran to Cena and went, "These girls are too rough in the ring." So, you know, I mean, it's a different day, and hopefully Booker Man is realizing that, or Booker Woman, and responding accordingly by putting over these girls that represent a new face.
Right. Actually, what we said was Nikki Bella went to Cena after. We're joking, if this ever gets to Nikki Bella or Cena. We were like, Nikki Bella went to Cena with the side eye like, "John, you got to do something about this bullshit, because there's some bullshit with this shit, them booking us over up with these NXT girls. We've been on this main roster." In all actuality, I like Nikki Bella a lot. So, yeah, that's what we were really talking about. But to answer the question, what do you make of the NXT Divas as being the ones who won their matches Monday night on Raw? I don't make anything of it. I agree with Doc, as much as I hate to do so. I think that they're probably seeing that they need to go the direction of giving these ladies from NXT, as they bring them up, some kudos and throwing them a bone related to getting them some wins. And I think it's a good thing. And here's the thing. Not the Lynch, Charlotte, Alicia Fox, Nikki Bella match, because I thought that one was just okay. The Sasha match with Paige, you know, Paige to me is one of the best wrestling. She's not a diva. None of them are divas. They are lady wrestlers. She's one of the best wrestlers on the main roster. Paige is really, really good. I can buy into her character. She's got, you know, JR says that she's got it. There's something about her. So when I see Sasha and Paige go at it and Sasha wins, I don't think less of Paige. It wasn't like Paige did a job. She lost, but you know, I don't wake up on Tuesday going, "Oh, wow, that does it for Paige. Paige is no longer good." Heck, they went out there. I don't know how many minutes they went, but they had a long match, and it was really impressive, and Sasha won. That's nothing against Paige. So I like what they did. I like how they did that. And if they did that all the time when they brought up an NXT person and gave them a lot of time out there, then maybe it wouldn't seem like they're burying the NXT people when they come up there, kind of like what they did with Neville and whatnot. So I don't know. Who knows, man? Hopefully they keep doing it. You know, they gave the Divas two segments, and hopefully they keep doing it. And they need it. Well, let me say this too. They need to stop with the Diva bullshit. I'm tired of the Diva stuff. They're wrestlers.
So does that mean they're going to change the name of that show on E! To Total Lady Wrestlers?
That is a great show. You can knock it all you want. It's a really good show. It is booked. Let me tell you something, brother. It is booked beautifully.
Hey, you take your racism somewhere else.
Oh, my God. that's funny. I was joking. I think I put this on Facebook one night. I said, man, it's something. I was like, Total Divas is the best booked show that WWE has. And I firmly believe
it. I don't know
it.
If it's good or not. I've never watched 1 second of it, and I don't
think
it'll start anytime.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, for a guy
it's
who's
awesome.
For a guy who's on a wrestling podcast, I sure don't watch much of the product.
You don't watch NXT. You don't watch Total Divas. Well, no, I mean, you're invested in the stuff that you have time for. I mean, that's what it boils down to. So, and it's not like the thing is, if we get questions about stuff that we haven't seen, we'll go back and watch it just to make sure we can answer it. So that hasn't happened often, or hasn't happened, I don't think, yet. But if it were to happen, we'd go back. So, hey, Doc, that's all the questions, man. That's a wrap on questions for the week. And we're about 30-minute mark, 31 minutes in at this point. So, hey, what else you got, man? You got anything that you want to talk about going forward into the next week?
You know, one of the things that I would suggest, this is just a little for all you wrestling fans who are maybe looking for something that's not quite WWE and maybe not even ROH, but if you watch ROH, hopefully you've been kind of exposed to it recently, is right now in New Japan, the G1 Climax Cup is going on. And there's packages you can go online and watch the matches. And as we talked about our limited free time, I haven't been able to do that. But what I have been able to do is go over to the Law set of podcasts and listen to John Pollock give a daily review of the previous day's matches in the G1 Cup, and listen to how AJ Styles and some of the Bullet Club guys and then Okada and Naito and those guys are doing. And it's pretty nice to kind of be involved with the up-to-date product because we've been watching it on the AXS network, and it's a year behind. So yeah. I've kind of enjoyed being kind of a participant in the more recent edition of the product, even if I'm only listening to podcast recaps. And it's just, for those of you who don't know anything about it, I'd say go look it up because it really does sound like a brutal stretch of matches, brutal schedule, and it's really sort of a war of attrition to get through it. They're already having a bunch of injuries and having to book on the fly and all that kind of stuff. So that would be something that I've been doing and probably will stay up with for the next couple of weeks is the G1 Climax.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, we talk about Access TV. We don't get questions about New Japan because I think people aren't watching the current product, but we watch it on the Fridays when it comes on, and bottom line is, man, that's some just heavy-hitting stuff. Del Wilkes kind of talked about it. He didn't work for New Japan, but he talked about it when he was on our podcast a month ago, or July 4th weekend. He talked about the roughness of that style in Japan. Rod Price has even talked about it on the podcast. Big Daddy Yum Yum mentioned the style over there as well when he was on the show. If you haven't heard any of those episodes, you might want to go back and listen. But definitely a different style, definitely some good stuff. It does sound like this year the G1 is brutal.
And the other thing is, and this made me pop, apparently after the, they do press conferences after the night's matches, and Doc Gallows apparently won one of his matches and said when he won the G1 Climax Cup, he was going to climax all over Japan.
That is kind of funny, dude.
it's real disrespectful to an entire nation of people, but it was funny, so there you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of wrestling, the entertainment part, so nah, that's cool. Before we wrap up, so we got next week. There's a little bit of a treat next week, a little bit different. I don't actually have a wrestler on next week. I have the co-promoter for Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. She is Della Walker, and as a woman who promotes in the wrestling business, she's got a interesting take on things and some of the things that she's had to deal with, especially being the co-promoter of Wildcat Sports and Entertainment and partner with Luke Hawks. So I've known Della for a long time. She was a teenager, actually. I worked for her, dad many years ago when he was partners with the guy that I worked for. And she told me some things about her dad. I think I didn't even realize her dad worked for Watts, did something for Watts. I can't remember. I may be misquoting. So you'll hear that though next week's show. And it's got a pipe bomb type of effect to it to me. Like she goes into some stuff that's just really strange, but it's wrestling related. She's not a wrestler, but she's a promoter. She's partners, like I said, with Luke Hawks from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. Very successful promotion down there. But you'll enjoy that next week. Tune into that. And it'll be some good stuff. And then Doc and I will also do our review as well. The other thing, I just want to say one more time. I just want to say thanks to Drugs Bunny from Hood Slam. Make sure you all are following Drugs Bunny on Hood Slam. It's at D-U-R-G-Z. That's D-U-R-G-Z. Bunny FTF on his Twitter. Real cool cat, as you could tell from the interview. Laid back dude. Hood Slam got a very popular thing going out there. They should be on TV nationally. It's just entertaining. We pop every time we look at it on YouTube and whatnot. So also Hood Slam is at Hood Slam on I think every form of social media. Also check out their Facebook page as well. I think they do every first Friday of the month, I think is what he said. You'll hear it in the interview, though, so I forget. I've had so much going on today. Very entertaining, though. the rest of the Hood Slam crew, if you've made it this far into the podcast, I will get to you. We will talk to you. Stoner Brothers, Brittany Wonder, Shotzi, Chupacabra, all of y'all out there, as many of y'all. I know I'm missing a few, but I'm going to get to you all. Just bear with me as I get through the interviews and whatnot. Other than that, that's all I got. Make sure you follow us on the podcast page on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ can't remember, Booking the Territory. If you just search Booking the Territory, you'll find us. I just want to say thanks because we are getting close to about 1,500 likes on the Facebook page in only 2 months of work. So that tells me you all like what we're doing, so we appreciate it. Give us a shout out there. Holler at us on Facebook. Also, feel free to put up a review on iTunes for us because it helps. We'd like to see positive reviews of the show. Tweet to us at BTT_podcast. And then my personal Twitter is at Mike504Saints if you want to follow me. But other than that, that's all I got. Doc, you sure don't have anything else before we let them go?
It's Thursday night. It's 9:20. I got to hang up and not go watch SmackDown.
I'm probably going to go try to check it out, see what's going on, just for, you know, shits and giggles. Other than that, I also want to thank my sponsors again. Thank Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance for sponsoring us. We got a new sponsor, Doc. You'll hear it on the opening. Jason's a longtime friend of mine, does a lot of good work, so make sure you holler at Jason. You had their number at the beginning. Better Choices, thank you. TNA's Palace, thank you very much for everything you do. So for this week's episode, it's Mike and Doc. We appreciate you tuning in. Spread the word for us. Help us out. iTunes and Podbean, Booking the Territory. We will catch you next week. Book it.